may have free course and be glorified, even as is with you. And that ye may be delivered from unreasonable, or that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the time that we can have together. We pray for your blessing. Oh God, today, teach us a valuable truth. May we walk from here with confidence in our heart that indeed you are always faithful. We might live accordingly, and we not doubt you, and God, that you would thus receive the glory from our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. We find that this church is a fairly new church. The Apostle Paul, probably within the first, maybe the second year after he had left, he was only in the synagogue witnessing to them on three separate Sabbaths. But we find that a church had formed, a young church. Here's a group of believers that are gathered together. And Paul writes to them and talks a whole lot about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that they had grown exceedingly. In verse number 3, it says that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So here's a church that had experienced spiritual growth. But, like all of us, and maybe more so for them, they were a church in trouble. And the reason I say they were a church in trouble is because they were a church that was suffering persecution from those on the outside, but also we find that there were a few within that held some false doctrines. Again, if you were in Sunday school this morning, we talked briefly about some of that. And it was a church that needed this word that God gives them in verse number 3. And that word is very simply this: the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Now, that's hard for you and I to realize and to recognize and understand because we are so unfaithful. We are people who are prone to unfaithfulness. And we see it all about us. We are the same if we would be honest with ourselves. And yet the Bible teaches us something about God, that He is faithful. I want us this morning to see the Lord faithful in three different areas. The first area that I force to stop and consider is that He is faithful in His very person. The implication here when it says the Lord is faithful is that it's referring to the very character of God Himself. It is who He is. That word faithful in the New Testament refers to one who is trustworthy in the transaction of business, in the execution of commands, and the discharge of all of his duties. In other words, it's one who keeps all of his promises, does what he says he's going to do. In the Old Testament, when the word faithful is used, speaking of a person, it speaks of their firmness, their steadfastness, and their steadiness. And certainly here's a word, when we see these words, God is faithful, the Lord is faithful, it identifies He to be exactly that. That's why He's called the Amen. Listen to this in Revelation 3:14. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans," this was the lukewarm church, the wishy-washy ones, it says, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." He is the great Amen. He's the faithful one. He's the God who never changes. Malachi wrote this, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Are we not glad that God doesn't change? I don't know about you, but I drive around this town. I've lived here almost all of my life. I moved into this town when I was 8 years old or 7 years old. We had been farmers outside living in a rented or a leased farm, basically, working as tenant farmers. And we moved to town. I was just a little farm boy. And I remember this town a whole lot different than it is now. Matter of fact, the first place we moved into was a little duplex The address was 210 North 6th Street. If you go by there today, you'll find that the house has changed in one way. It used to be brown, and now it is the brightest yellow you've ever seen. And it's got to be the ugliest house in the world. But that's where we lived at for 6 months. And I remember around the corner and just up the street was the old school called Washington School. And most of you in this room do not remember the old Washington School that stood up on where the playground is at today. And the stairway right off of Broadway now, or whatever that is, Canesville. And you walked up those steps, and then there was another batch of steps that went up to the to that building. All I remember was that they were about 20 feet in length, all of them. But I look at them today, they're not near as big. I think things used to be bigger because I was smaller. You know the old timers, they say, man, back when I was a kid, the snow got clear up to my knees. Well, listen, your knees are a whole lot closer to the ground than they are today. And of course it did. But things have changed. We have changed. I was mentioned going around this city many years ago. What did they do? They tore down all the uptown area, and it changed dramatically. I read the other day that there are some in our city who want to make Broadway a two-lane road instead of a one-lane road. And I thought, oh my goodness, we got more traffic than ever. Where's it all going to go? I guess we're going to fly helicopters to go to Omaha. But it's always change that is there. By the way, change is not bad in many regards, but are you not glad that God doesn't change? Aren't you glad He's the same Lord that He was back in the Old Testament as He was throughout all of eternity, and you can depend upon Him all the time? If I have to depend upon old landmarks to get me where I'm going, I'm not going to get there because it changes. Many years ago, we had a tornado that came to our town, and it just leveled so many trees. And I remember getting in our car and the next day driving to many of our folks' homes just to see, because all the power was out, the phone systems were out. We didn't have cell phones, and I just wanted to see if everybody was okay. I remember coming to a spot. I know where it was at. But it was 17th and Avenue C. I'd been there many times in my life, but I turned the corner and I looked and I thought, where am I at? Things had changed. But God doesn't change. Amen? He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hebrews 13:8 says, James says this, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Listen to this, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our God is changeless in the fact of His person. He's the same, always is. We can depend upon Him because He does not change. He's faithful, by the way, not only His person, but He's faithful in His promises. Aren't you glad that what God says He means? And when God promises you something, God means it. He is faithful. He can be counted on to stand by His Word. I said a while ago, I believe this is one of the doctrines that is not believed very often by God's people when it comes to practice. Because so often in our lives, we are questioning God and we're wondering, why did You let me down? When God is faithful in these promises and He always takes care of it, when we look at it from front to end, He tells them here, He will establish them and keep them from evil. He is saying, listen, I'm going to make you stable. I'm going to place you firmly. I'm going to set you fast. I'm going to strengthen you in what you need. He said, I'm going to keep you. I'm going to guard you. I'm going to protect you from everything that seeks to destroy you. And God is faithful, and He can be trusted to do what He says He will do. Is the biblical testimony, the biblical testimony is to the faithfulness of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, and the glory of God by us. In Romans, he says, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able to perform. God keeps His Word. He will stand by His Word. The psalmist said, I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. God says, My Word is so important, I've made it magnified, enlarged it even above My name. He wants us to understand that He keeps His promises. He's not like us. We make our promises and we cannot always stand behind them, even if we wish to. God's not like us at all. What He says He will do because He cannot lie. God is truthful. He's not man, the Bible says in Numbers 23:19, that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken and shall He not make it good? Regardless of whatever the realm of life, the Lord can be trusted to meet His promises. Let me give you a couple of thoughts. If you will come to Jesus, He will save you. Amen? If you will come to Jesus, He will save you. Let me read a promise found in Romans 10:9-10. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What is the Lord saying? He's saying, if we will come to Him and we will believe in our heart that He has raised Jesus from the dead, He says you will be saved. If you will believe that what Jesus did when He died upon the cross, when He was buried in that tomb, was raised from the grave, if you will believe in your heart that He did that for you, listen, you can be saved. Not only can you, you will be. And it's not a matter of what we think, or not a matter of what we do, it's a matter of who we believe, and God will keep His Word. Sometimes people look at me very strangely when I say, I know without beyond a shadow of doubt, if I died right now, where I'd be. I know that. I know that my soul would be in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I realize this body could go numb and dead. I realize that it could be put in the ground. But my soul will never die. And I know also from the Word of God that one day He will raise this body glorified to be in His presence. I don't know about you, that sounded more exciting all the time. I mean, seriously. Let me give you a few reasons. And I'm not complaining. I can't see good anymore. I can't read a lot of things because it's blurry. I got one good eye and one that looks like you were looking through wax paper. It's exciting. I see things now I didn't used to see. Things that are not even there. You go down a little ways, I got a heart that don't want to do things right. So I got electrical things telling to beep, 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 you know. It's like the person who had the earphones and they were wondering what they were saying in the earphones all the time. And it was saying, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Because they weren't too sharp. Anyways, another thing. But God is, listen, I got that. One of these days it's going to be made right. One of these days I'm hoping the eyes get made a little bit better. But for now that's not going to take place. I got things wrong with the esophagus. It don't want to work right. It's got all these goofy things in it. Messes up. And they call, what do they call that? GERD. And I don't know why GERD sounds very close to girth. And that really bothers me. And so I got that, you know. And, you know, you just go down a little farther. I mean, just different things. And you get down to my feet and I don't feel a thing. By the way, someday if you're riding with me in the car, just remember, you're riding with a guy that can't feel the pedals. You'll be so excited. And then when you think about it, you can only see out of one eye real good. And that even gets more exciting. Amen? How many want to ride with me now? And seriously, life's fun. One of these days, God's going to make all that good. Huh? Tricia, you're going to be healed one of these days. If He doesn't do it earlier. Huh? And going to make you whole. That's exciting. Amen? She's not quite all there. She's going to heal. And I mean, it's exciting. And suddenly, I mean, you get older. I mean, things begin to break and fall apart. And it's more exciting. I mean, old folks are thinking, wow, heaven sounds really good. You know? I mean, for some people, say, walking down the streets of gold rather than being pushed would be really great. I mean, it's not, that's the only way they can get around. Somebody got to push them. And it's exciting when we think about all those things. I look at that, and I've said to folks, this, I know where I'm going when I die. And they look at me and think, well, you think you're somebody special? Yeah, I do. I've been specially chosen by God to be a part of His kingdom and to live with Him for all of eternity. Well, why did He choose you? Well, He chose you too. If you'll accept Him. Amen. And I'm excited about that. He will keep you and take you to heaven when this life is over. Listen to what John says. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Is that a promise? Amen. Now listen to this. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. What's he saying? I'm not going to lose a one of you. And it'll be raised up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What's he saying? He said, I'm going to raise you up. What happens? The last day, you can take that a number of ways. The last day on this earth, I die, my soul goes to be with the Lord. The last day, before the coming of the Lord, listen, and He comes and my body's taken out of the grave. Whatever you look at, however you look at it, listen, I will be in His presence. Think about this. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's a promise. God said, call, He would show us. You know why we don't get prayers answered? We don't pray. But when we ask God, God answers. God does some things. God says He will meet our needs. My God shall supply all your need. And I like what He says, according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Boy, that excites me. It's not according to Lisa's riches. Holy cow. If we all had to depend on Lisa, we'd be in bad shape, wouldn't we, Carrie? Yeah. Yeah. Prime example. Yeah. It's according to Christ's riches and glory. It's exciting. It's a promise, Christine. And God said He would do these things for us. He promised to you and I that we would have enough grace to take care of us no matter what takes place. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul prayed that he might take away some sort of affliction, and God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so when we have these problems, whether it be physically, some of us have mental problems. And I'm not talking about mental illness. I'm talking about we just don't have it all clicking at all times. Amen? And things don't work as they always should. How many forget things? Oh, yeah. I got news for you. I've got a really good forgetter. There is nothing wrong with it. I don't have to go see the doctor about it. I don't need to see a psychologist about it. It works overtime, fish. It's a wonderful forgetter. But my God, He's sufficient to take us through no matter what it might be in our lives. Do you believe that? He said, I'm faithful. He says, I keep my word. And yet so often, we don't believe that. He will give you His peace in the midst of every circumstance. You say, preacher, you don't know my circumstance. But my Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And He says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If that's not happening to you, maybe you're not believing God, you're not going to God and asking Him to take care of it and believing Him and also thanking Him for it. You ever thank God for your problem? Whoa. He said in everything give thanks, didn't He? Is it not problems where we can most see the Lord working? Is it in those areas that we most need His peace? And God said He would give it to us in those times. His grace would take us through. It doesn't mean it will be easy. It doesn't mean He's going to eliminate it. It means God can take us through it. I used to have a mother call me up because her daughter got sick quite often. She says, "My daughter's under the weather today." And I said it one morning. I said, "Boy, she's under a whole lot because there's a lot of weather out there." And what I was trying to get across is so many of us, we walk through life under everything. We don't have to be under anything. We can go through. We can have all the pressures. We can have all those things about us. But listen, God says He'd give us of His grace. God said He'd give us of His peace. How is it that a man can stand, as many have done, in the flames tied to a stake as they're burning them for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and sing a song of praise to God? How can they do that? How can they look at those who are tormenting them and ask God, like the Lord Jesus did, to forgive them for their disorderly ways? Because God gives peace. He keeps His word. He will walk with us every step of the way. Listen to what He said in Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Ain't going to do it. I've said to people, "I'll be right by your side," and then forget it. And there'll be a time when I couldn't be by anybody's side. But God is always alive, always there. He said He'd not leave us or forsake us. He will keep every promise He's ever made in His Word. He is faithful in His person. He is faithful in His promises. And may I say to you, He is faithful in His performances. He is faithful. He is unlimited in that faithfulness. The mercy, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reaches under the clouds." It never ceases. It's unfailing. Psalm 89 says, "Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from Him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail." His faithfulness, as we mentioned earlier, is a glimpse of His glory. "Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and His Holy One, to Him whom man despises, to Him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes shall also worship, because the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, He shall choose thee." The faithful one, the Holy One. His faithfulness is abounding. It says His compassions fail not. His mercies are not consumed in Lamentations 3:22. He is faithful to help people. He says He will not suffer us to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. God always gives us the strength to go through. It is His promise to us. He's faithful to those that He saves. He is our faithful High Priest. No matter what the situation, we can call upon Him and seek Him. And God is there to answer. Thank God for His goodness to us. He's faithful. And I'm glad today He's faithful and He's forgiven us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me rehearse something that took place in my life a number of years ago. I do not remember what it was, but something had been in my life and I'd asked God to forgive me. And I was feeling the condemnation of God still after I'd asked. And I went back and I asked the Lord again. And still I was feeling the condemnation of the Lord. And I went back and I asked again. And I was still feeling the condemnation of the Lord. It was not the condemnation of the Lord. It was the lie of the devil, because my Bible says, after I read it and got it through my thick skull, that He is faithful and just to forgive us. And I'd asked Him to, and when I believed His Word, I came to a conclusion, hey, that is not of God, bringing that doubt there any longer. It's not of God to bring that guilt because it's been forgiven. It's gone. And when I got through my mind and got through this thick skull of mine and got down to my heart, the realization began to dawn upon me. It is gone. It is gone. And the feeling that it was gone now came to mind because I knew the fact if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Friends will fail us, but God will not. Family will fail us, but God will not. Funds will fail us, but God will not. Our feelings will fail us, but God is faithful. Listen to this and don't misunderstand it. Our faith will fail. We don't always believe Him, but God is still faithful. Thank God for that. A young man named Roger Sims was hitchhiking his way home. Many years ago, the date was May 7th. His heavy suitcase made him tired. He was real anxious to get home, take off the army uniform once and for all. Flashing his thumb up the hitchhiking sign to an oncoming car, he lost hope as he saw it was a big, black, sleek, new Cadillac, thinking he'll never stop for me. To his surprise, the car stopped. He went and opened the door. The fellow said, put your suitcase in back, and he got in and sat down. Well-dressed man, businessman, was at the wheel. And he said to him, going home for keeps? Roger Sims looked at him and said, sure am. He says, well, you're in luck if you're going to Chicago. He says, not quite that far. Do you live in Chicago? He said, yeah, I have a business there. My name is Hanover. After talking about many things, Roger, who was a Christian, felt a compulsion to witness to this man, apparently in his 50s, seemingly a very good, successful businessman, wanted to witness to him about Christ. But like you and I do so often, he kept putting it off until he realized they were only 30 minutes from his home. And he thought to himself, it's now or never. He cleared his throat and he said, Mr. Hanover, I would like to talk to you about something very important. And he began to explain to him the way of salvation. And after he got finished, he said, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? To his astonishment, Mr. Hanover pulled the car over the side of the road. He bowed his head and received Christ, and he thanked Roger and he said, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. 5 years went by. Roger got married. Had a 2-year-old boy, a business of his own. He packed his suitcase, headed to Chicago for a business trip. As he was looking at that suitcase, he saw the little business card that Mr. Hanover gave him. When he got to Chicago, he looked up Hanover Enterprises. The reception said, it's impossible for you to see him. He was a little bit confused. But he said, you could see his wife. They ushered him to a very lovely office, and he was looking at a very keen-eyed woman in her 50s. She stuck out her hand. She said, you knew my husband? And he told her how her husband had given him a ride when hitchhiking home after the war. And she said, can you tell me when that was? He says, I sure can. It was May 5th, 5 years ago, the day I was discharged from the Army. And he says, anything special about that day? Roger hesitated, or she said. He hesitated and wondered if he should mention about his witness to her husband. But since he'd come so far, he thought, well, I'm going to tell her. He said, Mrs. Hanover, I explained the gospel to your husband. He pulled over the side of the road. He bowed his head and asked Jesus into his heart. He gave his life to Christ that day. She began to sob. Finally getting a grip on herself, she said this to him, I had prayed for my husband's salvation for years. I believed God would save him. And said, Roger, where's your husband, Mrs. Hanover? Not knowing what had taken place yet. He's dead. Said he was in a car crash after he let you out of the car. He never got home. You see, I thought God had not kept his promise. Sobbing uncontrollably, she said, I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought he didn't keep his word. God is faithful. God is faithful. And so often in our lives, we give up on Him. So often things don't go just the way we think they ought to have gone. And we think God's not faithful. So often, some tragedies come upon us, and we blame God. I told the kids a story the other day I read. Two young boys had been drinking. They sold one of their daddy's car. This was in South Africa. And they took off. There were two businessmen from the United States inside of a home when they heard this horrible crash. They were on the outside. And they saw the car that had been sitting there. The body had been just simply knocked off the frame. It had been hit so hard. But the car that hit it was going on down the street and disappeared around the corner. As the two businessmen go out to the car and begin to inspect and look around, they notice there's a big patch of green. They know the radiator has been busted. Knowing cars just a little bit, they realize that car's not going to make it very far. And they begin to trail the water. They don't get very far, but around a couple of corners, and there sits the car dead. And the two boys outside the car. They come upon the two boys, and one of the fellows, knowing the Lord very well, seeing the situation, he says to those two boys, can I pray for you two? And he bows his head and prays, and when he's done, one of the boys says, if God was real, why'd He let this happen to me? He blamed God for getting drunk, hitting a car, and all that took place. What's he not believe in? The faithfulness of God. What's our problem so often? We don't really believe God's faithful. But He is. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is always, always there. I've not always believed it in the last 50 years, but I can testify after this length of time, what God says here, I know to be true. He is faithful. Do you believe Him? Or are you going to do it your own way? Because you don't really trust Him. Father, today work in hearts. Lord, we're so prone to take over because we don't believe You. We don't really believe that You're going to do what You say. We don't really believe You in the matters of life. Lord, for most in this room, we put our trust in You to save our soul. And somehow we believe that, though we even have doubts of that sometimes. But when it comes to matters of life, we so often take it in our own hands because we don't believe You to be faithful to us. God, forgive us. And Lord, I pray that if we're in that state right now that we just not really believing that you can take us through. Oh God, may we repent of that and recommit our trust to you. Lord, if there's one here without Christ, their Savior, they might know that you're true to your word and that they will receive you. He will indeed save their soul. Lord, you said you would answer our prayer. And so we commit this to you and allow you to do it in your way, in your time. I ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to stand where you're at, if you would, please. Our Christian